Amos chapter number 8, verse number 11 and 12. Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, that I will send a famine on the land, not a famine of bread, nor a thirst for water, but of hearing the words of the Lord. They shall wander from sea to sea and from north to east. They shall run to and fro, seeking the word of the Lord, but shall not find it. So this is the announcement I have been making about the famine of the word of God that is going to come. So people of God, we need to be aware of it. And for such a time as this, we need to fill our storehouse with the word, with the revelations of his word, with the understanding of his word. Because this word that you are reading will be highly manipulated in the coming days, the days of deception and falling away. And you might not, if you are not ready, if you are not equipped now, in those times, you would wander for the word as it is written here. Hallelujah. Okay, so let us go into the word. I have been, Friday night, I started teaching on walking as Jesus walked. And I told you the whole purpose of God chose us. We are a part of his body, the church. We are here listening to the teaching. We are into the fivefold ministry. The whole purpose of it is lost in Christianity. People had been thinking that the whole purpose of doing church, doing ministry, being called by God, being a Christian, is a means of gain or having a better life or being happy in life or walking in the supernatural, etc., etc., etc. But the whole purpose of what we are doing, the primary purpose, is for each and every believer to become like Christ, to attain the stature of the fullness in Christ, to be perfected in Christ. That is the whole point. For us to walk as Jesus walked. The epistle of John says we ought to walk as Jesus walked. That is the whole purpose. For us to come into the unity of the faith. What is the unity of the faith? For our lives and for our mindset to be Christ-like. 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 Hallelujah. So that is where I started walking as Jesus walked. And then I told you last time what I covered was the first point is forgiving people easily and not carrying hurts. If you are walking, if you are a believer and you want to walk as Jesus walked, you have to come to a point to forgive people easily. I told you why many people cannot forgive people easily. I will not go into that. And I told you the revelation after hearing that revelation, if you have understanding to receive that revelation, you can forgive people very easily. We saw the life of Joseph. We saw how Jesus forgave. And what is the thing that enabled them to forgive people and not carry the hurts? Because we saw that in the last sermon, so I will not go into that. And then I also released a prophetic word that all things will work out for the good of those who love God and who are called according to his purpose. What purpose? Not the purpose of doing ministry, the purpose of becoming Christ-like. When you are every day striving and repenting, cleansing yourself and walking as Jesus walked, every evil will also work for your good. And we saw so many things in the life of Joseph, in the life of Job, so many evil that happened to them, even physical abuse, mental torture, even human trafficking. Sexual molestation, false accusation in the life of Joseph. So much happened in his life. But the Bible says, he himself said, God worked everything for my good. Hallelujah. So if you can trust God and walk with him, and even during the time of trials and tribulation, and when evil happens to you, you just keep silence and trust God. You will see that he will start working everything out for your good. All right. So the first step to walk as Jesus walked was forgiving people easily and not carrying hurts. Now the second step to walk as Jesus walked. The second step is very important, and it has been forgotten. It is the most important and foundational step to walk as Jesus walked, but it has been forgotten. The second step is death to self and bearing the cross. Death to self and bearing the cross. Everyone say death to self and bearing the cross. Everyone say that. Death
to self and bearing the cross.
That's the second step to walk as Jesus walked. Death to self and bearing the cross. Okay. Luke chapter number 9, verse number 23. Luke chapter number 9, verse number 23. Then he said to them all, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself. Deny himself, the expression for death to self. And then the second thing, and take up his cross daily. Now, there are many parallel verses in the Gospel of Mark and also in Matthew, but I chose Luke because it says, take up his cross daily. So death to self and bearing the cross is not a one-time process that today I died to self and today I bore my cross. What is death to self? What is bearing the cross? We will come to its meaning so that you can understand how to follow Jesus. To follow Jesus, you need to deny yourself. To walk with Jesus, you need to deny yourself. And then you have to bear the cross. These are the two things you need to take into consideration and do it if you want to follow Jesus. And you have to do it daily because it's not about a one-time process. It's a daily process where you die every day to self. Okay. If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake will save it. Okay, let's stop there. Now, there are two things in this scripture, Luke 9:23, to follow Jesus. First is death to self, that is deny yourself, Jesus says. And second is carrying the cross. What is the meaning of denying yourself or death to self? First of all, and then we will go to cross bearing. First, what is the meaning of death to self? Write it down. Death to self is about death to the old man, old mind, and selfish ways. That is self-confidence, self-ability, intellectual, and planning. These are the three things, these are the three areas, okay, where you need to die for a death to self, for to deny yourself. You need to die to three areas. What are the three areas? The old man, the old mind, and the selfish way. The old man, the old mind, and the selfish ways. When we come later, I will explain you those things. Some people die not completely to self, but to some area. Some people die to the old man, but they have not died to their old mind, and they have not died to their selfish ways. Some people die to their selfish ways, but they don't die to their old man. Complete denial of oneself is dying in these three areas of life. Complete death to self is dying in the three areas of your life. That is the old man, the old mind, and your selfish ways, which includes self-confidence, self-ability, intellectual, and planning. We will come to that, okay? That is the meaning of death to self. To come into the explanation of the definition, we will do it later. What is carrying the cross? Jesus said, carry your cross. We remember Jesus carried his cross and went to Golgotha, the place of skull, to be crucified there. So carrying the cross, what does it mean? Does it mean that we have to carry that burden of death What is the meaning? What does Jesus means? What is the revelation, understanding when Jesus says you need to carry your cross? Write it down. Carrying the cross. When you write the cross, bracket it with another word called connections. Okay? Stay with me. Carrying the cross, bracket connections. Okay? Carrying the cross, bracket connections, is embracing Jesus and his will above the people close to you and the people of the world. That is the meaning of carrying the cross. Stay with me. We will come to the scriptures. What is the meaning of carrying the cross? Carrying the cross is embracing Jesus and his will above the people close to you. I mean, starts with the people right in your family, people above the people close to you and the people of the world. That is the meaning of carrying the cross. So there are two things you need to do to follow Jesus. There are two things you need to do to walk with Jesus. Death to self. I told you the three areas of death to self. And second is carrying the cross. The meaning of carrying the cross is embracing. How do you embrace husbands and wife here? How do you embrace your wife like this? You know, you hug your wife. So embracing Jesus and his will and letting go of your own close acquaintances, of your own close people, your family and the people of the world. That is the meaning of cross bearing. That is the meaning of bearing the cross. Because if you are mindful of the people, you cannot be a disciple of Christ. Stay with me. Hallelujah. So which one should we start off with? Carrying the cross or death to self? I think let's start with carrying the cross. Hallelujah. People of God, if you are there tonight here in this meeting, say amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
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 Carrying the cross. Cross bearing. I told you the definition. Let's go to some scriptures to tell you and verify my definition. Okay, let's go to the scripture to verify what I said. Matthew chapter number 10. Okay, we will open Matthew chapter number 10 first. Matthew chapter number 10, verse number 36 to 38. Matthew 10, verse number 36 to 38. The least visited verse by pastors. This is the one. The least visited verses by pastors. But yet this is Jesus teaching. Matthew 10, 36. A man's enemies will be those of his own household. He who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he who does not take his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. Okay, do we see that? Okay, stop there and let's also see the parallel verse of the translation of Luke, the Gospel of Luke, chapter number 14, verse number 26 and 27. Let us also keep the last Matthew verse open while we go to the verse in Luke. Chapter number 14. Luke, chapter number 14, verse number 26, 27. If anyone comes to me and does not hate his father, this is another translation of the same teaching Jesus was giving. Whoever does not loves me, what Matthew says? Whoever loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. Remember that? Whoever loves son, daughter more than me is not worthy of me. Whoever does not carry his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. So there he says, loving father or mother more than me. But Luke is very straightforward in his translation. And he says, the teachings of Jesus is written as, Jesus says, if anyone comes to me, and what does not hate his father and mother. Now, I am not saying this. Oh, what is he? Jesus is teaching this from the, it's from the scripture. Jesus, he says, if anyone who comes to me does not, what? Hate his father, mother. Now, hating is not hating and giving bad words to your father, mother. There is a context to it. Stay with me. We are understanding cross-bearing. Many people don't understand what it means to carry the cross. Carrying the cross is you embraced something. You embraced the cross that disconnected you from everyone in the world. It crucified you to the connections. It crucified you to the connections. And here is what Jesus is teaching. Hallelujah. I have never heard, I have heard preachings, but I have heard many pastors, I am telling you, your teachings, make notes from other pastors to learn the scripture, but I have never heard anyone taking the scriptures to detail, to teach people what it means to follow Jesus. What it means to follow Jesus. What it means to walk with the Lord. These things are the foundational principles of being a disciple of Jesus. Okay. Hallelujah. Okay. I hope no one leaves the meeting tonight in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Listen to me. If anyone comes to me, Jesus says, and does not hate his father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, and his own life, he cannot be my disciple. Whoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. Okay? You see those verses? Matthew writes it in a subtle way, but Luke is very straightforward in his writings of the teachings of Jesus. If you cannot love Jesus more than your family members, you cannot follow him. Hallelujah.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Okay, one amen. All right. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. That is cross-bearing. I'm coming to that. There are two things Jesus said. Whoever wants to follow me, let him deny himself. Second, let him carry the cross. And then daily, and then follow me. Now I am talking about bearing the cross, carrying the cross. What is the meaning? Carrying the cross in context of the scripture, Jesus is saying, you need to love me more than yourself and more than your family members. You need, if you cannot do that, don't follow me. Don't walk with me. Don't walk with me. That is what Jesus is saying. Hallelujah. We don't know that because the gospel is watered down. But listen to me, what I am teaching tonight. So let me show you John chapter number 19. Another verse we will go and then I will talk. John chapter number 19. John chapter number 19. Verse number 16, 17. John chapter number 19. Verse number 16. 17. Then he delivered the Gospel of John, okay? Chapter 19, 1-9, 16 and 17. Then he delivered him to be crucified. So they took Jesus and led him away. And he, that is Jesus, bearing the cross, bearing his cross, sorry. The scripture says, bearing his cross, went out to a place called a place of skull, which is called in Hebrew Golgotha. Stop there. Verse number 17. I was sitting there and meditating. And it, after meditating on that word and God speaking to me and revealing me the feelings of Jesus in that verse. The feelings of Jesus. What Jesus felt. What he was going through in his mind. What Jesus was thinking at that time, in that verse, made me very sorrowful and made me realize, Lord, I need to die to self and I need to bear my cross. Now, it says what in 17? And Jesus bearing his cross. I want to put it like this. I would not be wrong to scripture if I put it like this. Jesus embracing his own cross. Now think about it. Now I want to reveal to you what I was receiving from the Lord. Think about it. When Jesus embraced the cross, what he was thinking? He was thinking about his mother. He was thinking about his family. Hallelujah. Yes, Jesus was in a family. Jesus had feelings. Jesus had emotions. You understand that? That's why before he died, he told John, take care of this woman. When he embraced the cross was the will of God. And the will of God for him was to do the will above his emotions for his family. But he embraced the cross and he was feeling bad, but he did it. He did it. He did it. Embracing the cross means doing the will of God above the will of your family members. Do we understand that? A mother, see, it's painful. It's painful. A mother would never want his young son to die. You understand those relationships? A young son. A mother would never want that child to die like that, a painful death. But the mother knew her position, and Jesus himself knew his position. So the mother would not come in between, and Jesus would also, no, I want to be with my mother. No, he said, I will do my father's will. I have to leave my mother. Do you understand cross bearing now? I have to leave my mother. I have to leave her. Hallelujah. That is, now am I able to make you understand the cross bearing? Yes. See, when you are in the flesh, you have emotions. Jesus was completely in the flesh. He was a man. He was a family man. He did the business. He was with the parents. He grew up. He had emotions. He had love. But when it came to the will of the Father, he had to crucify his connections. He had to consider the will of God. He had to consider the will of God above his family members. We will come to that. I'm not just talking about his mother, but the Bible says he bearing his cross, Jesus embraced the cross and carried the cross till Golgotha, till the place where he had to be crucified to do the will of his Father. Hallelujah. Amen. Are we understanding that? So Jesus embraced the cross and carried the cross. That is the meaning of cross bearing. That we embrace Jesus and his will above the people close to us and above the people of the world. We embrace Jesus and his will above the people close to us and above our family members. Are we understanding now what is cross bearing the cross? What is carrying the cross? Okay, let me give you a few more scriptures. Let's go to Galatians chapter number 6, verse 14. Galatians. Chapter number 6. Verse number 14. But God forbid that I should boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. That is the cross. Now this is not self-death, death to self. This is cross-bearing and death to self. Do we understand these are two different categories? Okay? And I'm talking about the second category, the cross, carrying the cross. Apostle Paul says, through this cross, I am dead to the world, and the world is dead to me. So bearing the cross is being dead. It signifies that you are not a slave to the world's opinions, plans, ideologies, applauds, rewards, approvals, etc. That is the meaning of bearing the cross. You are not a slave, or you are no longer mindful of the people. Even I am considering the people in your own family, your mother, your father, your uncle, your auntie. It may not be in the US culture, but in the Indian culture, it's much evident. Oh, see, your cousin became an engineer. You also should study engineering. Oh, they did a doctorate. You also do. So parents put the pressure on the children. I don't know about much about US culture. Maybe in the US culture, people do whatever they want by their own will. But in India, there is pressure comparing with parents putting their. But if you are chosen by God, you have to do the father's will above the will of your father and mother, above the will of your husband and wife. We see that if you cannot do that, you cannot follow God. You cannot fulfill the purpose of God as straight as that. I want to tell you, from the beginning of the Bible, the men who walked with God, remember, God called Abraham, and what God told Abraham: leave your kindred, leave your family, leave your property, leave your everything that you have acquired, leave your gods. We will come to that. That is coming in death to self. But leave all those stuff and follow me. And follow me. And that is why Abraham is a servant of God, because he did not went to his wife to honey, you know. I heard like this from this God: should we do it? What do you say? He did not went to ask her opinion. He said, God has spoken. Let's go. Hallelujah. I am not pastors, the churches that are pastored with through couples, you know. They say, oh, the first lady, the wife of the pastor, first lady of the church. There is nothing called as first lady of the church. Then some people call queen mother. Queen mother is demonic. Queen mother and all those stuff. Don't call by those names. And all those things, because anything happen. I know marital relationship, there needs to be transparency. But when it comes to following Jesus, you need to crucify your connection and your God. And you may discuss with your wife, but not asking her approval about the word of God. You might tell, these are the things, let's pray and let's follow what God wants us to do. Not like, honey, I heard like this, God is asking to do like this. What do you think? What do you think means what? You need to follow God, not follow your wife. Okay? If you are that kind of a husband, socialistic husband, you cannot follow Jesus. You cannot do ministry. Let me be straightforward. You cannot do ministry. You need to carry your cross. Are we understanding that? Carrying the cross signifies that you are no longer a slave to the world's opinions, plans, ideologies, applauds, rewards, approvals, whatever. You are crucified to the world, to the people of the world, and the people of the world are crucified to you. Okay. Now, these are the definition and these are the explanation of bearing the cross. Let us see practicals. Let us see from examples. And the examples I'm going to take is from the life of Jesus. Let us see the examples, okay? Look at the examples, we will understand at each phase of our life what it means to bear the cross of Jesus Christ. John chapter number 2, let's go first to the first example in the book of John. In the book, Gospel of John, chapter number 2. Let's read from verse 1. On the third day, there was a wedding in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. Now both Jesus and his disciples were invited to the wedding. And when they ran out of wine, the mother of Jesus said to him, they have no wine. Jesus said to her, not mother, woman. Woman, what does your concern have to do with me? My hour has not yet come. Okay, stop here. Stop there. Mother, until I am in the house and if I spill over my glass of water and make the floor dirty, I will call you mother, and you have the authority to rebuke me in the circle of household because I am your son there. But when it comes to ministry, I will not call you mother, I will call you woman. What I have to do with your concern? My hour has not yet come. Okay? That is how you are crucified to your own connection, where you, when it comes to your father's business, you only hear the father. Okay? Now, I can show you, I did a study of all the gospels to understand the meaning of why Jesus said, woman, my hour has not yet come. I did a study of all those gospels to understand the meaning of woman, why he said, woman, my hour has not yet come. The reason he said that, because he did not yet go to his 40 days of wilderness fasting. Now, the Gospel of John is very, very detailed in terms of days. You see, when you read John chapter number 2, it says on the third day, he went to the wedding of Cana. Third day from which day? Third day from the day he was baptized by John. So it says on the first day what he did, he Andrew and John were met. And the second day what he did, and on the third day they went to Cana of Galilee. Okay, from the baptism. Now, when you compare John with the Gospel of Luke, you will see that after the baptism, there is not the details of days written there. Nor the Gospel of Luke says that John and Andrew, the disciples of Jesus, were first the disciples of John the Baptist. Then they got from that ministry to this ministry and followed Jesus. It does not say that, but John explains that. But when you compare John and Luke and even other Gospels, Matthew, Mark, when you study it, you will understand that after Jesus was baptized, he did not directly went to the wilderness, but led by the Holy Spirit. Before that, he was walking, he was choosing the disciples. Okay? In the Gospel of John, he went to the wedding of Cana. He did the miracle of turning water into wine. And there the Bible says the disciples believed in him. And then when you compare it after that, you can read afterwards. You know what I'm saying is true, but you can verify afterwards. And then after that, he went for fasting. So after fasting, he would start his ministry. After the wilderness season, he would start his ministry. That's why he told woman, my hour has not yet come. I am not allowed to do any miracles now until I go and I am tested by the devil in the wilderness. Okay? So that's why he said, my hour has not yet come. But from that scripture, and that's why many people say, oh, he just, and after the wilderness fasting, he came back. And that Peter was fishing and not finding fish. And then he said, he preached the gospel. He taught from his boat. And he said, cast the net that side. And then he said, Lord, I am a sinner. Because Peter had again stopped to trust the Lord Jesus. He had met the Lord Jesus before that. They were in the wedding of Cana. When you put all the events together and study the events, then you will realize what is happening. Okay? Any which ways, I don't want to go into those teachings. I have taken those teachings, I think, a year or two back. Going into the details of scripture and proving those things. So, when Peter was chosen, you know, at the, you know, said, follow me, I will make you fisher of men. That was not the first time Jesus was meeting Peter. That's why Peter was feeling guilty after he caught those fishes, you know, because he stopped to trust in Jesus. So Peter was like, again and again, whenever he gets discouraged, he will go fishing. That is what he was. Remember, at the end also, again, Jesus died and, you know, they did not see Jesus after he died. And then Peter said, let's go fishing. And that's why again he was regretful. Jesus said, Peter, do you really want to love me? Do you really love me? Do you really, really love me? Do you really? So Peter's mindset was, whenever he was discouraged, I don't want to do ministry, let's go fishing. I don't want to follow Jesus, let's go fishing. Whenever he felt discouraged, he will go to catch fish. And the way Jesus will bring him back, that he will not allow him to catch any fish. Hallelujah. Amen. Yes, many of us do like that. Whenever we will say, oh, I am frustrated of all these things, nothing is working, and you go to do something. Even in that, you are frustrated. God does not allow you to be fruitful in that. He brings you back then. He brings you back. So any which ways, I am showing you that he did not listen. He was not listening to his mother. But then afterwards, you know what? Sometimes what the mother say is right, is as per the will of God. Then afterward, he did what the mother said. First, he said, woman, what I have got to do with you? Why are you asking me to do all those things? Do you see that? So then afterwards, he understood what the mother is saying. God wants me to do. It's like, remember Abraham? Remember Abraham? You know, Sarai said to him, you cast out this bondwoman and her child. They will not be heir with my son. And Abraham said, how can I cast her out? She's also, you know, my concubine. She's also, yeah, Ishmael is also my son. But God came and told him, listen, Abraham, do what your wife is saying to you. She's saying right. It's like that. Okay? Are we understanding that? So Jesus, we look at Jesus' relationship with his mother. It is considering his father's will first and then his mother's voice. It was like that. Okay? Luke chapter number 4, another example. Second example. Luke chapter number 4, verse number 41 to 50. Let's look at the relationship of Jesus with his parents. Luke chapter number 4. Luke chapter number 4. No. Stay with me. Hold on. Okay. Sorry, Luke chapter number 2. Luke chapter number 2. Verse number 44 onwards. Luke chapter number 2, verse number 44 onwards. But supposing him to have been in the company, they went a day's journey and sought him among their relatives and acquaintances. So when they did not find him, they returned to Jerusalem seeking him. Now, so it was that after 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the teachers, both listening to them and asking them questions. And all who heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. So when they saw him, the mother and father, the parents, okay? So when they saw him, they were amazed, and his mother said to him, son, why have you done this to us? Look, your father and I sought you anxiously. And he said to them, why did you seek me? Did you not know that I must be about my father's business? Okay? That's his attitude. So that was his relationship with the parents. Okay, in the house, he will listen to his father and mother because he was under their authority. But when it comes about the father's business, he will listen to the heavenly father first. Matthew's chapter number 12. Next example. Matthew's chapter number 12, verse number 46 to 50. Matthew's chapter number 12, verse number 46. To 50. While he was still talking to the multitudes, behold, his mothers and brothers stood outside, seeking to speak with him. Then one said to him, look, your mother and your brothers are standing outside, seeking to speak with you. But he answered and said to the one who told him, who is my mother and who are my brothers? And he stretched out his hand toward his disciples and said, here are my mother and my brothers. For whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother and sister and mother. Hallelujah. So Jesus is saying that I am close, and my investment of my time of ministry, of my gifts, will be upon those who do the will of my Father. They are the one I will closely minister to. They are my mother, my brother, my sisters. Hallelujah. People of God, you need to look at that carefully. I was ministering to a lady for quite some time, and she had a younger brother. She had a younger brother, and it is like many years she would, the younger brother was not completely in Christ, but she would continue to try to win his soul, you know, to Christ, win his soul. Oh, my brother, every time she will call, her only prayer point is, pray for my brother got this, pray for my brother, that happened to my brother, pray for my brother, he's thinking like this, that is happening to him, that this is happening to him. That is what her point was, to pray for my brother. And then she says, I want to do ministry. I said, you cannot do ministry until you release your brother in God's hand. You are trying to save your brother's soul, but leave him in Jesus' hands. If he needs to get saved, he needs to take a decision. You cannot force it upon him. You understand that? Hallelujah. So Jesus, and she had a great calling. I always used to correct her, tell her, you have a great calling. Come on. You have to pray and seek God. Why are you stuck with your brother, who is not at all listening from many years? If he had to listen and come to Christ, it would not take 50 years of continuously giving the gospel to him. He is now mid-aged. He is so old. Stop now and focus on the purpose of God. You see, the brothers of Jesus would not even listen to Jesus. So Jesus did not invest his time on his own brothers. He said, who are my brothers? Those who are listening to the Father's will. Those who are listening to the Father's word, they are my brothers. That is where you are bearing the cross. Are you understanding? Whoever it is, if your own son, daughter, husband, you have been trying to minister, really, don't. I'm not saying stop praying for them, leave them. No, I'm not saying that, but I'm saying don't take your whole energy, whole mind, whole day and put it on one person who is not at all turning to Christ. Intercede for them, okay? And at the same time, release them in the hands of God, but minister to those who are listening to the word of God. Invest your time on those people. Invest your energy on God's purposes. Are we understanding that? All right, okay? So that is what Jesus, that is cross-bearing. That is bearing the cross, okay? John chapter number 7, verse number 2 to 9. Let's see Jesus' relationship with his brothers. Let's look at that. Jesus, what relation Jesus had with his brothers. John chapter number 7. We can look a bit about that in the book of John. Chapter number 7, verse number 2 to 9. Gospel of John. Hallelujah. Gospel of John chapter number 7, verse number 2 to 9. Now the Jews' feast of tabernacle was at hand. His brothers therefore said to him, that is to Jesus, depart from here and go into Judea, that your disciples also may see the works that you are doing. For no one does anything in secret while he himself seeks to be known openly. If you do these things, show yourself to the world. For even his brothers did not believe in him. You see that? Then Jesus said to them, my time has not yet come, but your time is already ready. The world cannot hate you, but it hates me, because I testify of it that its works are evil. You can go up to this feast. I am not yet going up to this feast, for my time has not yet fully come. Hallelujah. You see that? He's saying to his family members, sometimes the family members say, you go there, you do this, you do that. But you say, no. My time has not yet come to do all those stuff. You can do and do whatever you want, but I cannot do it because I believe in Jesus. Hallelujah. I follow the Lord. I follow God's will. You understanding? People who are in unbelieving family, in a family where there are other unbelievers in the family, and they say, let's go there, let's do party, let's do drink alcohol, have some wonderful time, but the Holy Spirit does not allow you to go. And you say, you go. You can do whatever you want, but I cannot do. Hallelujah. Are we understanding what it means to carry the cross? Yes. Hallelujah. That you are not swept away by the sayings of your family members. You are not swept away by their opinions, by how they feel about you. You just please your father when it comes to your father's will. Do we understand that? Hallelujah. Might be the family members won't believe in your faith or won't believe in what you are doing. But that does not mean they don't approve you. That means God has not approved you. No. God has approved you. You continue to do. The ministry of Jesus was not for the brothers. They did not believe in Jesus. They were taunting Jesus and saying, all these miracles you are doing, go outside and do. But he said, no, I will not. My time has not yet come. I cannot do whatever I want to do. You can do. You go to the feast. You enjoy. I will not go with you. You see that? Do we understand cross bearing now? Okay. I told you what is carrying the cross. Carrying the cross is embracing Jesus and his will above the people close to you and above the people of the world. Hallelujah. Can we say amen and then we will go ahead? Hallelujah. If you're understanding cross bearing. Okay, hallelujah, amen. Yes, it's for some of the people might think that is difficult, but I am telling you, it is not difficult when you are in the presence of God. Some of the people might think, oh, I cannot do that because I want people around me. I cannot stay like that. But I am telling you, the more you want the presence of people around you, the more you will be left empty. Try out the presence of Jesus. Try to walk in what Jesus is saying to walk in. Maybe you are a Christian from 30 years, but no one taught you this. But I am telling you, this is what is the teaching of Jesus. This is how you can walk with Jesus. And it's not hard. His commandments, the Bible says, are not burdensome. But when you try it out, you will understand the peace and tranquility it brings with you. With the presence and the fellowship of the Father. Hallelujah. Don't think I am in no way trying to disconnect. No, don't talk to anyone. No. There is a balance that I am teaching you. There is a balance. Cross-bearing is not just saying anything to anyone because, no, they are not of my God. No. Cross-bearing is simply embracing the will of Jesus, the word of Jesus above the word, the opinions, the applauds, or what people think of the world, the people of the world, the people of the family, embracing the will and the word of Jesus above all those stuff. Hallelujah. That is a very important thing. If you don't fulfill it, you cannot walk with the Lord. You cannot, I am telling you. You cannot. The kind of relationship we have in our family is we don't have a direct relationship with each other. All our relationships is first with Jesus. And that's why we love each other with the love of Jesus in our family. And then anything about the will of Jesus comes first. Even if it is for, not even for me, for my mother, for my sister. It is, they will do the will of God above my word. They are trained to love and consider the will of God before our own opinions. Okay? Are we understanding? That is how a family can be preserved in Christ. That is how a marriage can be preserved. Not when the husband and wife are too loving and lovey-dovey with each other. Honey, honey, honey. Too much honey will make you vomit. First, love Jesus. Hallelujah. Love Jesus first. Love Jesus first. Obey his commandment. And then when you love Jesus first and then your wife, your relationship with. And when you love Jesus first and then your husband. So you don't take your husband's words and cross the words of Jesus. That is how your relationship is. No pastor will teach you. I'm telling you, I was in a church where they used to have marriage seminars. And in those the marriage seminar was not a biblical ceremony. Though they used the Bible and all those stuff. Oh, come closer, hold your hand. And I don't want to even talk about all those stuff. Marriage seminars, so-called marriage seminars. They don't talk about Jesus. I'm telling you, why you are giving it a church tag name? Tag it as a social gathering because there is nothing about church to do in it. Even a worldly, what you call them, inspirational speaker, life coach can come and teach you all those things. You don't need the Bible for you to learn all those stuff. A life coach can do it. Unbelieving life coach. You know life coaches? who talk about marriage, who give therapies and all those stuff. They can come and do all those nonsense. You don't need the Bible and include the church tag name to do those marriage seminars. Marriage seminars are a waste of time. Hallelujah. Instead of that, husband and wife, hold your hands and spend time in the word of the Lord. Then take 1 week apart. You don't, from your wife, spend time with the Lord in his presence. That is what Apostle Paul talks about to married couples. Married couples, don't give into lust forever, but take out time and depart, you know, from your wife and spend time alone with God in the book of Corinthians. I don't have time to go into all those things. But that is cross-bearing, beloved, where you love Jesus more than father and mother, more than son, daughter, more than husband and wife. That is cross-bearing. That is cross-bearing. Hallelujah. Now, to one of the most important subjects, death to self. Let's come to death to self. Death to self. What is death to self? I told you death to self, if death in three areas of life, death to the old man, the old mind, and selfish ways. Now listen to me very carefully. This is very important for Christians to know. Galatians, let's, before going into that, let's go to some scriptures. Galatians chapter number 2, verse number 20. Galatians chapter number 2, verse number 20. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. That is Paul speaking. That is complete death to self. I have been crucified with Christ. Nothing of Paul now lives. Now this life that I live in the flesh, it is Christ living through me. 0% Paul's plan, 0% Paul's ambition, 0% of his ideologies of what he wants, and 100% of Christ, because Paul died. Paul completely died. That is what is death to self, 100% death to self. What is complete death to self? It should include all three areas that I am talking about now. Okay? The first, is the old man. First we will see the old man, then we will see the old mind, and then we will see the selfish ways. What is old man? Who is the old person? What it includes, the old man? Write it down. The old man includes your old religion, practices and beliefs, sinful habits and lust, traditions, connections and relationships. That is the old man. The old religion, stay with me, practices and beliefs, sinful habits, lust, traditions, connections, that is the old connections and old relationships. Stay with me. Let me first come to the old religion. Now, not everyone was born in a Christian family. Many who are believers here were Christ. You know, you will have the privilege of Jesus choosing you out of another religion, out of another tribe that is not a Christian family. For example, I and my family we are the first generation that came to Christ from the Hindu background. And Hindu means, Hindus are like, you know, open-minded. They also practice Muslim stuff. They can also go to the church. And so it's everything mixed. Everything, that kind of background. Everything was mixed. Now, listen to me. When you want to walk with Jesus, you need to get rid completely of your old religion. If you will look at my mother, in old religions along with the traditions of the old religion. Once I was ministering like a house cell, and I was going and ministering every week to that family, to their house. The old woman could not walk. She had a husband, they had a family. So whatever it was, I would go faithfully, minister to them. And they were, before receiving the gospel, they were believing in many things. They were Catholics. They were also believing in the Hindu books. They were believing in the whatever books, religious books, and these and that. So sometimes when they see on the news, see on the TV, that someone is throwing the Hindu books, someone is doing something to the idols. Oh, we are hurted. How could they do to those idols? How could they? So their soul was still attached. Their emotions were still attached to their old religion. You understand that? I am not hurted about anything. If something happens to the Hindu idols, I have nothing to do with it. And on top of that, I myself pray against the breaking of those idols. So I have got rid of my religion that I practiced from my childhood. That is the old man. That is the area in the old man. You understand that? 90% of believers who go in the mega churches, they also believe in Jesus. They also visit their old religion. One of the person that was coming, going to a church, and he seemed to be Christian. He wanted to be in the worship team. And there are so many festivals coming in India. And then he messaged me, happy this festival, Indian festival. I said, bro, I thought you are a Christian from so many years. But I celebrate this festival. It's good to me. I like it. Ah, you are not walking with Jesus. You are just believing in Jesus for some selfish sake. You are not walking with Jesus because you did not left your old religion. As per the Hindu religion, a woman has to wear this and that on the head and this and that. You will see my mother not wearing anything, because as soon as she accepted Christ, the Holy Spirit convicted her to remove all those stuff and throw it away. She never wears all those stuff. She never wears all those stuff because she is no longer the old person. She is completely new in Christ. Do we understand that? Many people don't get rid of it. We used to go to mission trips, and the main woman who would used to host the mission trips would wear those traditional Hindu stuff on her. And many, many of the churches you see after marriage, they have to wear something, a necklace. And it signifies a deity. But they will wear it because to signify I am married. You have not got rid of the old man. You are still in the oldness. You are still in the old religion, beloved. Hallelujah. Are we understanding that? Are we understanding that? Many of the Catholics who have preached the gospel, they still do rosary. No. Rosary is good. It gives me peace. You are the old man. You are not following Christ. You are not walking with him. All things will not work out for your good. It does not work out for everyone's good. It works out for good for only those who love God. Do we understand that, beloved? Old religion, get rid of your old religion. Get rid of it completely. Get rid of those idols. Get rid of those stuffs that you wear, which are occultic, which are from your old religion, which those traditions command you to wear. Pastors in India have started to wish people in the name of those Hindu festivals. Ah, you are a pastor, but it's all right, it's just celebration. Ah, no. You are into the old stuff. You understand that? Hallelujah. You have not died to self. The old man is a part, and old religion and tradition, practices and belief is a part of that old self. We will come to the examples later. Abraham was an idol worshipper. Do you know that? Ruth was an idol worshipper. Not this Ruth, the Ruth of the Bible. Okay? That came from Moab, that Ruth. She was an idol worshipper. She worshipped the gods of Moab. But she said, now your God, Naomi, is my God. I have left my other gods. Completely left. Abraham was an idol worshipper. He came from Babylon. His father was a great degree, high degree wizard, you know, Terah. If I don't have time to show you those things. His family was into occultism. His family was, but God said, leave your family. And he left it. He stopped idol worship completely. You see that? Hallelujah. 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 Do we understand that? Amen. Old man comprises of the old religion. Old man comprises of the old religion. Then sinful habits. Sinful habits. Sinful habits. You were addicted to alcohol. Even, I accepted Christ, but I see you still drinking alcohol. No, no, I used to drink every night. Now I'm drinking every week. I cannot. You have not crucified your old man. You were smoking cigarettes before coming to Christ. Now I believe, but I see you still smoking cigarettes. I am telling you, many of my Christian friends, I used to work in the call center, used to go. I caught them smoking cigarettes, coming to my church. Stress. That's why I smoke cigarettes. Christian people, stress. I thought the word of God is the solution to your stress because you are a believer. No. I have to smoke. I have to smoke. You have not got rid of the old man. You have not got rid of the old man. Pornography. I am a believer now. Okay. I don't have electricity.
Yeah? We can hear.
Okay. Hold on. 1 minute. Hold on. I'm arranging for the light. Okay.
There we go.
All right. Hallelujah. So.
Amen.
Amen. So the old man comprises of the old religion. And then I was saying sinful past, sinful habits. You believed in Christ. Before coming to Christ, you were watching pornography. Now also you are watching pornography. You have not got rid of the old man. Sinful habits are a part of the old man, past sinful habits. Then, one of the most important things, old connections and relationships. Now, let me take my own example. Before I came to Christ, I had a lot of... I was in the company of bad friends. Okay, before I came to Christ, I used to sit with them and we were like gangsters there. People used to fear us. Anything happens in the area, I and my friends would go and I will not fight. All of them will fight for me. All of them. That is how I was. They will smoke. I would not smoke so much, but they will smoke. And once I was casually discussing with my friends, you know, this guy told me like this, one of my college friends, he told me like this and all those things. I just told them casually. We were sitting together. And they asked me, when is this your friend going to come here? And I told them this time he is going to come because he has to go to some classes here. So he's going to come here. They said to me, okay, fine. And when his time for coming came there, I saw 15, 20 people on bikes came. I said, who are these guys? They said, no, don't bother. And as soon as my friend came, these my friends attacked him and beat him up because he talked wrongly with me, mistreated me. So that is the kind of friends who were there with me. They will fight for me. I just have to sit and they will fight for me. They will fight for me. But after coming to Christ, till date, I no longer saw their face or no longer talked with them. Complete disconnection to your old relationships. After coming to Christ, I was just 1 year and I took tracks from my pastor. And in my own area, I started to go where I used to stay, where I used to, that time, when I was 19 years old that time. And the place I used to sit and, you know, sit and do all those nonsense, that same place God told me, go and give the tracks. Go and tell people about Jesus. So I took the tracks and I went there. When I went there, to my surprise, I saw one of my ex-girlfriends sitting with her new boyfriend. Before Christ, okay? One of her ex-girlfriend sitting with her new boyfriend. And I said, and the Holy Spirit told me, go and give her the track. Go. So I went there and my hair used to be like this. Like, you know, David Beckham like this, spikes in the between like this. David Beckham style. So now I changed my hairstyle and all those stuff. And I went to her, and her new boyfriend was sitting, and I gave her tracks. She said, "What happened to you? What are you doing all those things? From a cool dude, what has become of you?" I said, "Read this track. You know, Jesus loves you, and see what he did for you. It's all written in this track." And she was looking at me like this, surprised, "What am I doing?" And she was considering me a fool. And then that verse came alive in my spirit, that through the cross I am crucified to the world and the world is crucified to me. So that is that. Are you understanding? When you come to Christ, you are still going with your smoker friends, with your drinking friends. You are still doing reunion with your college friends who are all filthy. You are still going there. You have not got rid. You are not died to the old self. Do we understand now what is the old man? The old man is the old religions, practices and beliefs, old sinful habits, lust, traditions, connections, old friends, old relationships. That's the old man. You need to be completely crucified. No, little bit I will go. No relationship whatsoever. Get rid of all those things. Get rid of all those things. I knew before coming to Christ in what all things I was there. Okay. I know before coming to Christ, I got rid of everything completely from 10, more than now, it's more than 12 years. They don't know where I am. I don't know where they are. It's completely disconnection from the old friends. Do we understand that? Oh, I came to Christ, but I am still going around with my old friends. You are not completely converted. And the church is full of half converts like that. Quarter converts, half converts. They are not disciples. They are just coming to church because the music is good. They are just coming to church because they like the praise and worship songs. They are just coming to church because all those stuff, but they are not disciples of Jesus Christ. They are not walking with Jesus because they have not died to their old man. Let me give you a verse. Second Corinthians chapter number 5, verse 17. Second Corinthians chapter number 5, verse 17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Everyone say that verse with me. If I am in Christ, say, I am a new creation. Say that. If I am in Christ, I am a new creation. Old things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new. Hallelujah.
Things have become new.
So you need to get rid of the old man. That Rahul is no longer exists. That Rahul was killed when he encountered Jesus. He died. Who used to sit with those friends, who used to have girlfriends and this and that. He is killed many years ago. He no longer exists. This is a new man. I have died to the old. I have no attachment whatsoever to my old religion, to the old traditional practices. Even so that I myself pray against those spirits. Now when I realize those are not gods, those are demons, expose them. And even talk about it to my Hindu friends and make them realize in a polite way and with knowledge of the Lord that these things you are doing are worship to demons, are worship to demons, are worship to demons. You come to India and you say, oh, India has so this mega church. You go to the mega church, you will see the state of the mega church. Most of the people in the mega church wear those thread on their hands, which signify covenants to Hindu deities. They have not got rid. They are not converted completely. Okay, I don't mind. See, I'm not judging anyone who just came to Christ 2 days back or 2 months back. They will take time. But they are coming to the church from such a long time. But the pastor is not telling them those things. You are not teaching the gospel. You are not making disciples. The whole idea is to make disciples of all nations. Hallelujah. Are we understanding? So let me stop here. Then the next meeting, we will go to the old mind, go to the selfish ways, and go to the examples in the Bible about Abraham and those people who crucified their self. If anyone wants to follow me, Jesus said, deny, he needs to deny himself, death to self, then take up the cross daily and follow me. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Father, we want to thank you, Lord, for this time and speaking to us, Lord Father, for your word, Lord God. And I pray, Lord, in Jesus' mighty name, that we just not be the hearers of the word, but doers of the word, Father. Oh, Lord, people, Lord, who have not yet heard, Father, what they need to do with walk with Christ, even as they are hearing it, Lord. Let them apply thy word. Let them walk and obey thy word in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, that they will walk with you. They will walk as Jesus walked, because we ought to walk as Jesus walked. And for that, we need to carry a cross, Lord. And we need to deny death to self, Father. Father, continue to teach us, Lord, so that we can obey your word, obey your will. We want to give you all the glory. We want to give you all the praise. Cover each and every person here in the meeting with the blood of Jesus. I pray, Lord, even those who did not, who are not able to make it tonight, cover them with the blood of Jesus. Continue to make them hungry and thirsty for your word in the name of Jesus Christ, Lord. Let them spend time with you and let them grow in you in Jesus' mighty name, Lord. We give you all the praise, all the honor, all the glory. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Hallelujah. God bless you.
Amen.
We'll meet next week and I will ask Sister Vetonia to lead us into the time of giving, and let's give unto the Lord. God bless you.
Amen.